Hello, and thanks for joining Wicker Park Lutheran Church Sermons. Wicker Park Lutheran Church is a diverse ELCA Lutheran congregation in the Wicker Park neighborhood of Chicago. We gather at 10 a.m. to fully live into our incarnational faith as we experience God's presence in the gathered assembly, and we welcome you to join us. In just a moment, you'll first hear with a gospel reading from the associated sermon for the service that you're about to listen to. We hope that that gospel gives you some context before you jump right into the sermon. Thanks for checking us out, and we hope to see you soon.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark.
Glory to you, O Lord.
King Herod heard of the disciples preaching, for Jesus' name had become known. Some were saying, John the Baptizer has been raised from the dead, and for this reason, these powers are at work at him. But others said, it is Elijah. And others said, it is a prophet, like one of the prophets of old. But when Herod heard of it, he said, John, whom I beheaded, has been raised. For Herod himself had sent men who arrested John, bound him, and put him in prison on account of Herodias, his brother Philip's wife, because Herod had married her. For John had been telling Herod, it is not lawful for you to have your brother's wife. And Herodias had a grudge against him and wanted to kill him. But she could not, for Herod feared John, knowing that he was a righteous and holy man, and he protected him. When he heard him, he was greatly perplexed, and yet he liked to listen to him. But an opportunity came when Herod, on his birthday, gave a banquet for his courtiers and officers and for the leaders of Galilee. When his daughter Herodias came in and danced, she pleased Herod and his guests. And the king said to the girl, ask me for whatever you wish, and I will give it to you. And he solemnly swore to her, whatever you ask, I will give to you, even half of my kingdom. She went out and said to her mother, what should I ask for? She replied, the head of John the Baptizer. Immediately she rushed back to the king and requested, I want you to give me at once the head of John the Baptist on a platter. The king was deeply grieved, yet out of regard for his oaths and for the guests, he did not want to refuse her. Immediately the king sent a soldier of the guard with orders to bring John's head. He went and beheaded him in the prison and brought his head on a platter and gave it to the girl. Then the girl gave it to her mother. When his disciples heard about it, they came and took his body and laid it in a tomb. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
So the events today described in our text are not for the faint of heart. I mean, let's be honest, it's a little gruesome. It might seem more like a tale from Stephen King than from the Bible. It raises a lot of questions for me. Why did Herod like to listen to John so much? What was the dance that Herodias danced that could sway her stepfather so? Why did Herod follow through on his stepdaughter's request? And how exactly was John's head presented to Herod? I'm also very curious about John the Baptist as well. I wonder if he knew if he was being led to have his head chopped off. And if he did, what was he thinking? Was he regretting being so openly outspoken about Herod's marriage? Or was he resolute in his thinking? Or was he proud of himself that he had stuck to what he had believed in, even though it would mean death? Whatever the answers to these questions, John the Baptist spoke truth to power. John did not think it was right what Herod had done by marrying the wife of his brother. We don't know the backstory of how Herod ended up marrying his brother's wife, but I would have to think it probably wasn't altogether wholesome and probably had a few plot twists. And I'm not thinking Herod's brother would have been too happy that his brother had married his wife. But Herod was a powerful man. He could do whatever he wanted. He could marry whoever he wanted. He could behead whoever he wanted. And no one would dare stand up to him. Well, no one except for John. And John had his own power as well. At the beginning of Mark, we are told that John the Baptist had a big draw, that he drew people from the whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem to be baptized. So he was able to have some kind of magnetic attraction that he attracted people to himself. And also based on the way John dressed, he would have been a part of some type of religious order, one that was out into the wilderness. So although John didn't have the same type of power that Herod had, he still had power nonetheless. And John ended up paying the ultimate price for speaking his truth to Herod. John was steadfast in his condemnation of this marriage of Herod and his brother's wife. It does not appear that John took back his words after he was imprisoned. And then it cost John his life and his head. It can take guts to stand up for what you believe in. In 1985, Nelson Mandela was in prison. By this point, he had been in prison for 21 years, part of a life sentence for conspiring to overthrow the South African government and their institutionalized racial segregation in the form of apartheid. But then, in 1985, Mandela was offered a deal to be released from a South African prison. But there was a catch. Mandela must renounce his values and beliefs and give up the fight to end apartheid. It was an offer that would have allowed him to see his wife and his children, and he could have lived free. But he proudly refused that offer. He did not give up on his beliefs and his values. Martin Luther, the founder of our Lutheran faith, also had strong convictions that cost him almost everything as well. It's often said that Martin Luther was a reluctant leader. He did not start out wanting to form a whole new branch of Christianity. He started out only wanting to reform the Catholic Church. So he sincerely had these beliefs, and he would not budge. And when his reforms were not happening, they were a little slow in coming, it became clearer and clearer that a new branch of Christianity needed to be formed. And so Luther reluctantly became the leader of this new branch of Christianity. And he suffered because of this, at one point spending a lengthy amount of time in a castle where he could not leave for months on end. But even through all of this, he never wavered in his beliefs. But standing up for beliefs does not have to mean big, life-altering gestures. I am a big fan of contemporary Christian music, and there's this new song out that's called Dream Small, and I want to read some of those lyrics to you. Dream small. Don't buy the lie that you've got to do it all. Just let Jesus use you where you are, one day at a time. Live well, loving God and others as yourself. Find little ways where only you can help. A tiny rock can make a giant fall. Dream small. We currently live in a country where it doesn't always cost us much to be a Christian. Christianity is still the majority religion here in the U.S. We don't face a lot of persecution, although there are some Christians who say they are still being persecuted. We can worship freely and openly without fear of backlash. We are pretty comfortable by many standards. But I would argue that we will, at some point in our life, need to stand up for our beliefs and values. And when we do this, our actions may not be written in history books like Nelson Mandela or Martin Luther, but maybe they will. It can be everyday acts of kindness. It could be letting someone in ahead of you on the highway or ahead of you when you're at your favorite coffee shop. It could be a kind word to your coworker. People of Wicker Park Lutheran Church, following Jesus will cost us something. It cost John the Baptist his life. And it can cost us a variety of things, from our time to using our talents to our money. But my question to all of you is, when you feel compelled to speak power to truth and stand up for what you believe in, what will you do? Amen.